All right, with that said, we're going to jump into the interview with Pastor Todd Coconato. And I think that's about 50 minutes long, so that'll be the wrap-up for today's podcast. I think you'll enjoy that conversation. We get into some pretty interesting, intriguing, and slightly controversial areas that you know me for. And just as a final note, before we get to that, you know I interview hundreds of people a year. And I'm interviewed by other people all throughout the year, too. And, you know, I welcome people with all kinds of different viewpoints on these interviews. And I don't require somebody to fully agree with me in order to interview that person. There are a lot of people that may diverge on many areas, but I absolutely want to hear from them. For example, Dr. Francis Boyle, who's, you know, the author of the Convention on Bioweapons that was signed by President Reagan. You know, he openly talks about how he agrees with the climate change issues that are often raised by Democrats and so on, and that's a big concern of his. Well, it doesn't mean that I don't interview him about bioweapons and bioweapon laboratories and so on. You know, I don't have to agree. They don't have to agree. We don't have to be 100% aligned to talk to each other. We need to be able to talk to each other as a nation, even if we come from different viewpoints. Like, you know, for example, I mean, I interview Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and he's a Democrat. Well, I have a lot of problems with the Democrat Party, but then again, I guess I have problems with the Rhino Republicans as well. But I don't say, oh, I'm not going to interview him just because he's got a D next to his name, you see. Or, you know, I've interviewed Alan Dershowitz before as well. And, you know, some people have a problem with Alan Dershowitz. Well, you know what? He's a very high IQ individual. He's got very important points to add to the discussion. And I just think if we can't talk to each other as Americans, then, you know, we're being too narrow-minded. So if I have somebody on that is controversial, if I have somebody on that says something that, you know, freaks you out or whatever, just chill. We're getting a lot of different viewpoints. Now, Pastor Todd Coconato is not a highly controversial guest, by the way. I think you're going to find he's really great, very much on board with the way you and I view the world. But some of my guests are not, and that's okay too, right? It's okay. All right, with that said, we're going to turn it over to Pastor Todd Coconato. Here we go. All right, welcome, folks. Mike Adams here in the aftermath of the midterm elections and a lot of unexpected results and a lot of people losing faith in political parties right now, that's for sure, or the political process or, you know, voting integrity, all those things. But I find that more people are gaining strength in faith for a spiritual solution, faith in God, faith in Christ, faith in the fact that we need a direction that transcends even the process of voting. Not that we shouldn't vote, we should, but something that goes far beyond that. And to join me here tonight to talk about all of this is now our returning special guest, Pastor Todd Coconato. His website is pastortodd.org, and he joins us to talk about all this and so much more. Pastor Coconato, it's an honor, sir, to have you back. We had a great time last time. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mike, so much, and thank you to your listeners. So many people wrote just amazing emails, and I'm just very blessed to be back.
Well, I really, really enjoyed our conversation, and I think that the history of yours that you shared with us, which we don't have to repeat everything here, but you know, it shows where you came from, you know, Hollywood scene and all of that, and then to be a pastor and to be able to help people with guidance and to navigate the difficulties of our time, it really speaks to your authenticity and where you're coming from and all this. So I just want to thank you for sharing all of that. It was quite personal on your part to do that, but you had the courage to share it publicly anyway.
Thank you, Mike. I mean, I just feel like this is where we're at. You know, the Bible says something in Scripture, and I think we should take note of this. It says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And I think there's a lot of people right now that are hungry, that are seeking. I mean, I'll tell you, my email box is full. I mean, it's, you know, there's ministry to be done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the harvest is plentiful. And the reason is because people are seeking and they're searching for truth. And we're in a world of propaganda, disinformation, misinformation. I mean, look what just happened with this missile situation in Poland. I mean, we could have gone, you know, right into a nuclear war, you know, I mean, and praise God. You know, I think the prayers were heard of many people praying. But, you know, we're in a day that every 24 hours, there's almost some bombastic major news story that is very critical. And, you know, so there's so many things happening. So people are hungry. And the truth is that you're never going to truly fill that void unless you turn to Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is the solution. The Holy Spirit gives us discernment and wisdom. And this is what's so needed in this hour, Mike.
I completely agree. And I've just since the midterms, which apparently never end, but I mean, since Election Day, I've heard so many people say, you know, I'm done believing in this system. I'm done believing that men and women can solve this. And it's like, where do we turn now? And the answer is right in front of us. You know, the answer is Christ. The answer is the scripture. And I think maybe this is the process that's necessary to awaken people to that realization. If you put your faith in men, you will be disappointed.
Yes. Yes. No, 100%. I mean, the Lord says there's no other gods before me. We can't make an idol out of anybody or anything, even if it's a good thing. It still can be an idol, you know? And this is what I think a lot of people, you know, 2016 was a monumental year. We saw a man come into office that literally shifted the entire atmosphere. And I believe this was a man that was anointed by God, Donald Trump. And so what happened was people were excited. They knew there was something different, something changing. But a lot of people have looked to him to be the answer. And I really believe that this is why God is allowing us to go through this very difficult time. But as much as, you know, that presidency was amazing and we love Donald Trump and, you know, I don't agree with him on everything. I think many of us will agree the jab and other things. But, you know, for the most part, it was much different than any other cabal or whatever, you know, deep state person that's been in before. And so we all were excited about that. And then, you know, it shifted back, you know, and so people are like, what's going on? You know, and so for years, there's been this whole struggle in our nation to try to figure out what is going on. And now we're in another shaking. But to your point, I think what this is all leading us to, and it's the Lord's divine will and providence really, is to bring us back to him, to turn us back to God, and to say it can't be a man. You know, we can't fix a spiritual problem with a political solution,
right,
as much as we want to. And so the battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against strongholds and principalities. And so for many years, the church, it really, I mean, I actually have a whole, I mean, I can get into it if you want, but I know we don't have too much time today, but there's a whole, you know, storyline that took us to where we are today. And so where we are today is, I believe it's almost like the prophets of God versus the prophets of Baal. But, you know, the Babylon system is being exposed and people are realizing that the reality is that the God of heaven and earth is the right choice. And then there's this big spiritual battle that's happening. And so it's even bubbled up into the mainstream news. I mean, they're even talking about it, Mike. You know, this is something that only 5 years ago, you would have never heard some of the commentary that you're hearing in the mainstream corporate media. But we're hearing this because the culture is downstream of the church. At least it's meant to be. But for many years, there was the seeker-friendly culture. There was the mega church culture. And basically, the church went inside the four walls and really became stagnant, full of apathy, complacency. We weren't affecting culture. Culture was affecting us. You know, the whole skinny jeans and lattes, and people laugh and joke about that. But it's true. The fog machines. You know, we started trying to be like Hollywood, trying to be like the culture. So for me, that was very upsetting because I came from Hollywood. And when I first came into the church, I thought, this is like a cheesier version of the world. Why would I want that? I was seeking for truth. I was hungry for truth because I had an encounter with the Lord. And I know many people are understanding what that means. When you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, that's a game changer. Your whole life will never be the same. You'll never go back. And this is, so there's many people that have been sitting in mega churches and seeker friendly churches for years, but they're still basically at level one Christianity. I'm not here to bash those types of people. I mean, it's, you know, if you're seeking, that's what's up. That's what we need to do. But the key is that we can't stay at that level one. We always have to be going deeper in our faith, in our spiritual journey. And as you draw near to the Lord, he'll draw near to you. And that's where the revelation comes and the strategy, divine strategy and wisdom. These are the things that the Lord wants to impart to his church right now, but it's focusing our eyes back on him.
Well, that's okay. There's a lot to unpack there, but let me begin here. So I also hear, in addition to people asking about, okay, what's the deal with this political process? You know, the cheating, the rigging is just so obvious and blatant. You know, how can this be our country? But then I also hear a lot of people asking, well, where is God right now as the Luciferians are grooming the children and, you know, pushing genital mutilations and pushing all of this evil. And, you know, I don't have to tell you, but there's evil, obviously, in Hollywood, in the movies and the TV shows and all of this, some of it targeting teens with like witchcraft. I mean, Disney is issuing like witchcraft training movies or something for 12-year-old little boys and girls to learn how to do occult stuff in their homes. And some people are asking, where is God? Because the battle is on, right? They see Satanism advancing. So how would you answer someone who has that question?
Well, I think what's, you know, the Bible says what's been done in darkness will be brought to light. So what I feel like is happening is a major expose. You know, as the hour gets later, the spirit of Antichrist is rising in the nation and the world. And that's what we're experiencing. So the true, the blood-bought church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ, if you're standing for the entirety of the word of God in this hour, you're experiencing flak, you're experiencing warfare. And I even say, you know, if you're not experiencing spiritual warfare, you might want to question if you're doing enough or if you're really, you know, pressing in. Because for those that are standing right now, you're understanding how many different levels and layers. Or, I mean, you know, for a pastor like myself, I mean, I've been attacked, you know, physically, and my property's been attacked, the government's come. I mean, you know, every different angle when you speak truth, you know. And so, wow, like, so in other words, if you speak truth, all these different things are going to come against you. Yes, that's what happened to the Apostle Paul. I mean, there's a lot of biblical precedent for that. But, you know, you can look at it in both ways. You can say, why is all this stuff being allowed to happen? But I think it's always about souls. And so if we take it back to the core, we're the bride. The church is the bride of Christ. And the Lord says he's coming back for a church without spot nor wrinkle. And so what I really feel like is this is an extended mercy grace period where even though we're seeing the warfare increase and we're seeing moral deprecation increase and we're seeing all the different things in the world that are very egregious, at the same time, God is training the people of God, the true people that seek to serve him and that hunger and thirst for righteousness, how to actually be effective in spiritual warfare. How to encourage themselves in Christ, like the Apostle Paul, you know, how to be warriors and not just flimsy people that'll, you know, blow over in the wind. You know, God is looking for a church that's willing to stand. That's the Church of Philadelphia, the empowered church. How are we the empowered church? Well, we have to know how to war. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of seminaries. There's a lot of, you know, preachers that don't even know how to war spiritually. But God is giving us this time that if we want to seek his face, call upon his name, start learning how to be intercessors and prayer warriors and get into the word of God and hide it in our heart. It's going to be that lamp unto our feet. We are going to become educated in how to be true warriors for Christ and occupy until he comes and take back the territory for the kingdom of God. And that's why it has to be a spiritual solution and not a political solution. So I know there's a lot of, you know, egregious things and many people are very concerned, but the Bible told us all these things would happen, Mike. That's the encouraging thing. So we're literally a generation that's seeing the Bible come to life before our eyes. And listen, if the bad things are true, guess what? That means the good things are true too. We're going to rule and reign for eternity with Christ. You know, we're just passing through in this world. To live as Christ, to die as gain. So I see it as an encouragement because we know that the time is short, the hour is late. But let's do the part that we're meant to do, and let's stand in this hour.
Let me bring in two controversial things here, then, that may be interfering with action. Because what you just said, I think, makes perfect sense. You know, we need to be, I think, vocal, you know, peaceful and vocal, but openly talking with others about the lateness of the hour and about what's happening and the rise of the Luciferians and how we need to push back against that, for example, on school boards, right? And in city council meetings, and, you know, to be out there again peacefully but forcefully with courage to speak the truth. But there are two kind of movements that we all have probably noticed in alternative media that tend to, and I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but they tend to cause some paralysis of action in people. And movement number one is the pre-trib rapture people in the church. And I'm not here to debate anybody's conclusions because I haven't figured out how that all works either. But some people use the pre-trib rapture as a justification for inaction. And then on the political side, it's the Q movement has kind of a similar effect, which is to encourage many people to just like sit back and watch the movie. Everything's already done. All you have to do is wait and you're going to be saved. So I find those things two very similar and quite parallel. What's your take on those things? I'll try not to get you into too much depth in all this.
No, it's an excellent question, and it's a discussion that needs to be had. And here's what I want to say as a precursor. First of all, everybody that, you know, if you're a Q follower or if you're somebody who, you know, is a pre-trib rapture or whatnot, these are not areas that I'm trying to argue with you, because honestly, I would love there to be a pre-trib rapture. And to be quite frank, I would love there to be a plan and something to happen pretty soon. That would be amazing. So that's great, you know, but here's the thing about that is, what if, let's just say it's a 50-50, okay? What if that's not true? What if we're actually going to be here through the tribulation? Or what if there's really not a plan? Are we positioned for that? Are we prepared for that, both physically and mentally, mind, body, spirit? Are we ready if we're going to go into massive persecution? And there's a lot of telltale signs that that could be very true. So it's kind of like playing Russian roulette. So I always say, like, you know, look, plan, like, the best could be coming. Like, I hope for the best, but plan for the worst, you know? So we have to be spiritually prepared and have the Bible hidden in our heart and understand that, you know, there's times when Israel, many times, there's biblical precedent where the people of God, God's chosen people, went into captivity because they turned their backs on God. Now, that doesn't mean that there wasn't a remnant and the remnant was still protected. I can think of several instances in the Word of God where there were, you know, Daniel, people that were living under captivity, but yet still had the favor of God on their life. So, you know, be encouraged no matter what the scenario is. I believe that if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're serving him and that's the desire of your heart and you have a personal relationship with him, you're hearing from the Holy Spirit and you have an active prayer life, God's going to protect you in miraculous ways. I mean, in ways that are just beyond our comprehension. You know, so we shouldn't fear, but at the same time, we should be spiritually astute to understand that there's still, we don't know. The Bible says no one knows the day nor the hour. No one. So, you know, anybody that's telling you that they do or giving you dates and certain things like that, that's, I mean, how many times have those things ended up panning out? Probably less than 1%, you know, when somebody gives a date or they say, it's a very small percentage. And so we have to look at this rationally and sober-minded and be watchmen on the wall and understand that we're in a significant spiritual battle. And so let's prepare for the worst. That way our minds are ready, our spirit is ready, and we're able to stand when that hour comes. And so we already see, whether it's from a legislation standpoint, what the Congress is trying to push through with some of these just insane bills and things that they're trying to push through. I mean, every day I hear about something different that's like, wow, that could be a real problem. You know, there's aspects of biblical doctrinal Christianity that are going to basically be called hate speech soon. And they already kind of are. And there's a point where if pastors preach the full Bible that's coming in America, it's already happened in parts of Europe and, you know, Canada and other countries, but we could be thrown in jail.
Yeah.
You know, so these things are at our doorstep.
Yeah. That's already happening. You know, I think of, in Canada, Pavlovsky, or is that his name?
Yeah, Archer Pavlovsky.
Yeah. Yep. And then I've seen arrests in the UK of people citing scripture as well. It's very much out of control. Yes. But getting back to my question, a follow up on that, it's striking to me how similar these narratives are. So in the Q movement, the story is that there is a secret legitimate government still in power that is behind the scenes, while the theatrics of an illegitimate evil regime plays out in front of us so that we can see that. And then it's going to be, you know, overtaken at the right time by the legitimate, more powerful military, I guess, in the case of devolution and so on, that will destroy the evil and set everything right. So think about, you know, the pre-trib rapture, it's kind of similar in a lot of ways that, again, there's, you know, God is in charge, but behind the scenes and allowing evil to take over so that we can witness the rise of evil and see how horrible that is for life and humanity. But then at the right time, God is going to re-intervene and destroy the evil and save us from that evil. It's shocking to me how similar these stories are. It's almost like, Were the Q people, you know, reading the book of Revelation and kind of changing some terminology or so? It's, you know what I mean? Wow. It's almost that close.
Yes. You know, that's such a good thought there. And I think you're spot on. The challenge is this: the devil since the Garden of Eden has been distorting things. So he'll take some truth and then he'll mix it with falsehoods and counterfeit. That's what he does. Look, I mean, with marriage, with everything, there's always a counterfeit version of reality that the devil offers. And so I think the challenge is that if you're someone that's not, well-read in the Word of God, you know, you hear aspects of Christianity and that makes you feel comfortable and you kind of let down your guard, but there could be syncretism. There could be New Age in there. There could be other elements that are going to pull you away from God. And so we have to be careful. That's why it's so important to know the Word of God. And I say every Christian needs to have discernment. I mean, major discernment. That, we all need to be praying for discernment. The Bible says, test the spirits. And so any influencer, I tell people to do this with me too. I say, you know, pray to the Holy Spirit. Say, is this guy trustworthy? Can I listen to what this man is saying? You know, we have to do that with everybody right now, really, because the Bible says to do it. And we have to look at what's the spirit behind it. You know, is it the Holy Spirit or is it another spirit? So when we look at these things that you're talking about, one of the things that's a common denominator is that you don't have to do anything. Right, and that is a challenge because, see, the Bible says faith without works is dead. And, you know, it also tells us to occupy until he comes. In fact, there's a Greek word, ekbalo, which, you know, is part of the Great Commission to go out and make disciples of all the nations. Well, that go out is actually go out, cast out, and drive out in the Greek. And what that means is that Christians, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, we're able to go into a territory and literally take back that territory for the kingdom of God by going out, by casting out, and by driving out. And so that's action. All three of those are action. Even if you look at the scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14, what does it say? It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and pray and turn from their wicked ways. And that so these are all actions. So let's contrast that to some of these narratives. The narratives are saying you don't have to do anything. You're just going to be saved and rescued. Well, that's not what the Bible is actually saying, because the Bible is saying we're supposed to be a people of action. Even in 2 Chronicles, I think it's 2 Chronicles 20, where the Lord went before the people of Israel and fought their battle, they still had to take their position and stand.
Good,
you know,
point.
So
right.
We always have something we have to do. And so we're meant to be a people of action. So if I was the devil, I feel like Paul Harvey now, but, you know, I would say, hey, you don't have to do anything. Just sit back and do nothing and eat the popcorn and watch. So I think we need to be careful with this. And, you know, like I said, I mean, if those things are happening, well, praise God. It's an answer to prayer. But you know what? There's God will use this situation to build warriors and to get his bride ready so that we really are ready and we're actually activated as the church that's meant to be the head and not the tail, you know?
Yeah, and I do appreciate the optimism of those who believe that there is a plan, whether, you know, in the Q movement or outside of that, there is a lot of optimism that you hear from folks like that, which is, yes, which is great. But we also want to make sure that optimism is justified or rooted in reality, and that it doesn't dissuade us and, you know, from taking action, like you said. But the other thing I want to ask you, and I mean, hey, since we've opened the lid on some controversial questions, let's just dive in. No, it's anytime I interview someone who begins to quote scripture or mentions Christ or is in this realm, I find that there's a lot of bickering among the Christian audience that I'll get feedback and emails and they'll say, well, you know, that person doesn't quite have it right on this issue or that issue. Whereas if someone never mentions Christ, I don't get any complaints. But if someone mentions Christ just a little bit, then it's like, well, now let's dive in. Let's dissect what their beliefs are. You know what I mean? It's like Christians bicker a lot.
Oh, they do it publicly too. And we have to remember that the world is watching and people are seeking. And the thing is that a lot of people, they're authentic people. They're looking for authenticity. That's the biggest thing people are looking for right now, is somebody that's actually, they've been burned so many times. So many people are saying so many things. And they're like, just please, are you real? Are you real? So that's a big factor. You know, people have been burned by a lot of pastors over the years. And I recently actually repented publicly for that. And actually people were saying, why would you repent for others? But I'm doing it as a pastor of just saying, look, if you've been hurt in the church, we have to remember that people are human. Man will always let you down. So we have to have a personal relationship. So no matter what happens to us from people, it's not going to shake the foundation of our faith. And that's important. Yes. And if we start there, then we're not going to be easily swayed or easily shaken. But if we put our faith in some preacher or a ministry or somebody that you follow, a prophet or whatnot, there's going to be some point. Listen, there's going to be some point, and I try my very best, and but no, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, so we ultimately have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. That's number one. The other thing is the division in the body. Well, who is the author of the division? That's Satan. That's what he wants. You know, there's all types of denominations and different beliefs within the body of Christ. But I had a great mentor, Mike. His name was Pastor Jack Hayford, and he was somebody that was a bridge builder in the Christian community. And even though he was a charismatic leader, he would, you know, meet with people like John MacArthur and, you know, all across the gamut. He really worked to have those relationships. And I learned from that. And he said this, and it's always stuck in my heart, but he said, focus on the 98% that we agree on instead of arguing over the 2% that we don't. Right. See, there's two different types of people. There's people that are in Christ, and then there's people that are in the world. That's it. I mean, you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. You know, you're going to rule and reign with Christ or you're not saved. So the focus is souls. But as in the body of Christ, I mean, there's things that are like, you know, some people don't believe in women ministers. Some do. Some people are post-trib, mid-trib. You know, there's all different types of different things that people are believing. There's another debate that's coming up now about whether Christians can be demon possessed or not. So you have different views. But see, here's the thing about
really?
Those.
Wait,
none of those things are going to, they're not going to stop you from going to heaven, you know? Uh-huh. So why are we going to sit here and bicker amongst ourselves about these things when we have a common enemy that's spirit of Antichrist and this Luciferian, you know, Babylon system that we're seeing that's just coming out in the open? This is a time for us to understand we have to stand together and we can't be infighting about all these little things, but we have to come to a place where we see, okay, here's the problem. What's the solution?
Yeah.
And the solution is getting people safe, set free, healed.
See, I'm right there with you. You know, I mean, I interview 200 people a year plus, right? Probably 250.
Yeah.
If my rule was like, everybody has to be exactly aligned, it would be two people, you know, it's come on. Yeah, can't we agree on the 98%? Can't we agree that we got to stand and defeat evil? Like, let's start there. Like, let's just say, let's protect the children from the Luciferians, right? Could we start there? Let's not murder children in the womb or after they're born these days. We have so many things upon which we agree that are very, very powerful. If we could just remember those things and stop all the division and everything, I think we could really move forward. But then you have issues like the vaccine comes in with, you know, a lot of the churches were on board with the vaccine, which that's a pretty big deal because I just interviewed Ed Dowd and he said, yeah, you know, plus 32% fatality rate. That's 2,400 people a day, Pastor, that are dying in America because of a vaccine. And how could any church promote something or continue to promote? I understand if they made a mistake at first, but how could they continue to promote something that was killing 2,400 Americans a day? I mean, that's just wild.
Yeah. Well, there's some people that were in on it, and God is separating the wheat from the tares, and he's showing us those that are walking in discernment, like, wow, you know, that it's so clear now this person is actually not somebody I can follow as a shepherd. And then I think there's people that were sincere, but were sincerely wrong. You know, they just wanted to believe the Romans 13, right. I got to obey the government no matter what. And so they kind of got caught up in that. So there's kind of two different groups in there. But you know, this is where discernment comes in. And I will tell you, there's been a major shift within the body of Christ that, you know, churches that stood during that time period have seen exponential growth. And then those that close their doors are hemorrhaging people, you know? And so people want a pastor that's a lion and a general, you know, right. That you mentioned Pastor Archer. I mean, one of the reasons why Pastor Archer became a worldwide name is because I don't know if you remember that viral video where he was telling the Canadian guards, like, you know, Gustavo, get out of here. Yeah. You know, so there was authority in what he was saying. You know, he was speaking of the authority of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit. And even though those police, you know, they could have just arrested him right there and then, there was something that happened where, you know, they basically ended up leaving, you know. And you know, and those of you that know his story, it's been a, you know, a whole story that you should definitely look into if you don't know it. And he's a man that stood. But, you know, this is what is going to be required of the remnant of the body of Christ, is that we are going to have to be like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and we're going to have to choose not to bow down. And I believe there's going to be more moments. I mean, we already know the mark of the beast and other things that are coming, but there will be times when we are going to have to take a decisive stand, and it's going to go against everything.
Yeah.
And this is what I believe God wants to prepare us for, no matter what the scenario is, you know? So Like I said, I'd love for the pre-trib rapture to be true. I'd love for the Q narrative to be true. But we also have to remember, though, what the Word of God says is that there's going to be tremendous persecution. You know, if the days weren't cut short, people couldn't even, you know, make it. I mean, the Bible tells us all these things that are coming. So we just don't know exactly where we are on the timeline. But if I were to guess, I'd say we're in the birth pains.
Okay. Yeah, right. That's kind of the message I'm getting too. In other words, folks, you know, hunker down. This is going to be a marathon. I don't want to mention any names because we're not trying to be critical of any individual, but in a general sense, what do you think of people who, and some of this has been out there for years, people who find scripture and quote scripture and portray it as being predictive of stock market moves, for example, like, oh, you know, this piece of scripture says that on this day there's going to be a crash or it's going to go up or whatever. I do see some of that effort out there, and it strikes me as a kind of a stretch, but what do you think?
Well, you know, I'm just going to share what I feel about this. I mean, you know, there's people like you, Mike, you can just discern that you love this country, that you're a patriot, you love the Lord, and you're doing everything that you can to stand. And so apparent in the way that you act and, you know, everything that you do. So that's, the Bible says you know them by their fruit. There's other people out there, unfortunately, that I think take advantage of the saints, take advantage of patriots. And so this is where the discernment comes in, you know, and this is where we have to test the spirits. I am always, you know, weary of somebody that gives a date, just because, like I said, I think it's like a one, I don't even know if I've ever seen anybody give a date, to be quite honest, and it actually come through. But yet I've heard many people say that something's going to happen. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people, because of the use of scripture, because of the form of godliness that's presented, that, you know, the Christian key words and phrases and things like that in scriptures, that they believe it because, you know, they want to believe it, or, you know, the person is very charismatic or, you know, very articulate, well-spoken, and people can be taken for money or, you know, all different types of things that you could do. I mean, I know precious, you know, elderly people that have literally given away their whole life savings to some of these people thinking that what they're saying is true. And it just hurts my heart so much. So, you know, there's charlatans in the movement, you know, and so it's kind of a minefield. And this is why we need shepherds to stand up and to guard the sheep and to speak boldly. And we can't be afraid of the consequences. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I think we talked a little bit about it last time, but, you know, this was a man that was willing to stand in an hour when pretty much everybody was caving. And for our whole life, we've looked and we've said, how did that happen? You know, well, now I think we all kind of have an understanding of how it happened. And so nothing new under the sun. I mean, you know, Operation Trust was something I would encourage people to look into. That was a very similar thing to the Q narrative. So, you know, and this is, I mean, think about it. If they wanted to get a bunch of people to do nothing, that would be a perfect psyop, you know? And so these are things we have to ponder. We have to take to the Lord and say, what is actually happening here? And then each of us can have an individual role and each of us can do something to do our part.
Yeah, well said. Now, in reading scripture and then working to understand it, then we get into some disagreement. I'm sorry, I'm being hesitant here. I'm trying to find the best way to describe this. But, of course, there are many, many groups that are literalists about what the Bible says. Right. And then there are those who are far more interpretive and just – As a side note, I tend to think the Bible says, I think it means what it says personally. That's just my take.
Yes.
And I don't try to rewrite it in my head, but a lot of people do. They're like, well, that, you know, God didn't mean that. What God meant was this other thing. And then it's like they're weaving all these other things. How do we navigate all that?
Well, that, I think that's where, you know, the Lord says, come to me as a child, you know, and so we tend to complicate things. But one of the best things that I've realized in my walk, my personal faith journey, is when I just come to the Lord and inquire the Holy Spirit and spend time in prayer. You know, there's a scripture in Psalm 91. It says, you know, the secret place of the Most High. That's what I consider my prayer time. I go into that, you know, I have a room in my house where I go pray when my wife and daughter go to sleep. And this is where many times, Mike, I'll have something in my flesh that I've conjured up or that I'm thinking, and I'll get into prayer and into worship. And this is why I think this is so important that we have an active prayer life. And the Holy Spirit will show me, you know what, that's not the way to go. Or there's you know, some people call it a check in their spirit. But when you just have that feeling or that still small voice that says, don't do that, or don't go there, or don't be involved in that, or don't say that. And so we have to learn to trust that and fine tune that. And that comes by reading the scripture, because faith comes from hearing. Hearing from what? Hearing from the word of God. What is faith? Faith is literally believing in the unseen, but yet knowing that it's true. And so sometimes we can't see things, but we know in our spirit because God has spoke these things to us. And so it's just knowing, it's just trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, not leaning on our own understanding and all our ways, acknowledging him, he will direct our path. So that's the key, is if you have that prayer life and you're spending that time and you're truly inquiring of God and having a two-way conversation, you're going to grow and God is going to peel away layers. And that's what, and he should always be doing that. Honestly, we're always growing until the day that we die. And he's always peeling away layers, and we've never quite made it. But in each season, we're going deeper and we're becoming more spiritually astute. And this is what I believe God desires of his church, is that we're continuously growing. We don't just get to a place and we use like our little time card and we check in. Okay, I'm at church on Sunday. I'm at church on Wednesday. This is a full commitment, all in, you know, and that's what God wants of us.
Okay. All right. Well said. Let me shift gears here slightly and bring in the topic of angelic protection or divine protection. Because I've interviewed many people who have experienced it. I also interviewed Eben Alexander, who's that neurosurgeon whose brain was destroyed, and he essentially died and experienced heaven and came back. He's the author of Proof of Heaven. But I've experienced two specific angelic interventions in my life, just two times. And so I know it's real. Other people know it's real. What is going on with this in your view? And also, let me just preface that by saying people experience angelic intervention in different ways. It can be commands or a voice, a vision, a feeling, a strong feeling. It can be all kinds of things. But what's your take on that, Pastor?
Oh, it's 100%. I mean, my testimony would just be another example of that, where the Lord protected me and spared my life. And so I 100% believe it. I believe that the Lord sends us guardian angels, and, you know, he is the potter, we're the clay, you know? And so we're walking out our life. We're, you know, if we're truly seeking the Lord, we're doing our best, you know, and there's times we open ourselves up or we get into something that we shouldn't. And his love and his grace, he leaves the 99, he goes after the one. And he gives us, you know, an understanding, or, you know, sometimes, I mean, my dad was on a freeway in Los Angeles one time, and there was no side on the freeway. It was just, you know, the divider, and he had his car broke down. And so literally in LA, you know, cars were going 80 miles an hour and they could have just rammed him. And just out of nowhere, these two buff people came and like moved the car, and, you know, and then all of a sudden they were gone. And he was like, I think they were angels. You know, I've had experiences like that. So many people I've talked to over the years have had that. So I think there's a lot of proof. I mean, you can read Lee Strobel's book and The Case for Heaven, and, you know, and there's just so many people that have had these types of experiences. And so I think that the Lord does that so that we can have a testimony. And that's part of really disarming people that are in the world that don't want to hear, you know, us beating them over the head with the Bible or something. But you share your story and you share what God did in your life. And no one can refute that. Like, I think that's going to be the way forward in a lot of ways, because a lot of these young people are so broken. And, you know, my wife and I, we went to like a drive-thru last night. We looked inside and there was one of these furries. I didn't even really know what furries were.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, we've talked about furries.
It's like a whole subculture of people that, you know, basically think they're animals. And, you know, and so there's so many different things going on from a spiritual standpoint. So how do we, as people of God in this hour, disarm and truly evangelize? And that's what needs to happen. We need to make disciples. We need to evangelize. The church needs to do this. This is what we've got to get back to, and being about the Great Commission. And if we do that, then the culture becomes downstream of the church. And that's what changes the culture. And that's what changes the wicked leadership that has been allowed to get into these places of power, because it's a reflection of the absence of the church and many of the churches that are powerless because they don't want to speak of such things. They just basically just are there to kind of just be like motivational speakers, you know? And that's not what a preacher is. A preacher has to speak boldly. You know, how many times did the Bible say Paul went boldly? And what happened to Paul? He got thrown in jail. He got, you know, ultimately he gave his life, you know, but to live is Christ, to die is gain. And so we're just passing through. We stand for the truth. And that affects, I mean, look how many people are still talking about the Apostle Paul. He was a human. We're still talking about him today. Why? Because he was willing to stand. He had an encounter with the living God. And that's what we need to do.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. There's a lot to deal with in all of that. In our society today, we seem to be watching, at least in our culture in America, more and more people moving into secularism. Yes. I think the polls show that, like a smaller and smaller population of people attending church, for example, or associating as Christians. Do you think that we have reached a turning point in that where we're going to start to go the other way, where more and more people seek spiritual solutions as life in this world becomes more tormented, which is what's coming, by the way?
I think that we could go that direction. I think we're at a moment of decision. And I think this is why voices like yourself and others that are speaking truth, the Lord has given these platforms because, you know, for those with ears to hear and eyes to see. And so he's allowing the truth to be out there and people have to make a decision. But, you know, if you think about what are the Luciferians, what are the cabal people, who have they gone after? Whatever you want to call them, deep state, there's so many different words. What do they go after? They go after the children. Why? Because the children are the next generation. And so they focused on the schools. They focused on the young people because these people are going to grow up and they're going to have all these bondages and things that they need healing and deliverance from. And so it's really our job as people of God to teach the children, to protect the children, to change this system. And this is why it's so important for parents to go to the school board meetings. You know, the things that we talk about that seem, you know, not that big, but these are big deals. You know, we got to push back against this demonic agenda and the curriculum and the things that they're propagandizing our young people. I mean, many, many people are homeschooling. And I think that's very wise if you're able to do that. But if you're not, it's okay. But what you can do is be extremely involved in your child's life and teach them the ways of the Lord and, you know, teach them the scripture and let them know the truth. And so we have to counter this. And so I think it can be done. I think we're moving kind of in that direction, but we're at a pivotal crossroad moment, Mike. And so what are we going to do?
You know, let me share a couple of things with you, just maybe that are kind of personal, but I feel like you and I have a lot of resonance here, and I can talk about this publicly. But number one, Brighteon.tv, where you also have a show, would not exist without God moving through us in ways. Yes. Have you even heard that in any of that? Are you aware of some of the dynamics that went into place to bring this about?
Yes, it's an amazing testament. I probably just heard bits and pieces of it, but I've been following you for a while, and I'm very it's amazing to see what the Lord has done in and through you and through this ministry. I call it a ministry because I think it really
is a ministry, and I operate day to day with the full knowledge that we are blessed by God because we walk in alignment with God with what we do on this network, but also understanding quite, you know, Old Testament style that if we were to diverge from that path, all would be taken away, frankly. Also, yes. I mean, and people don't like to talk about that. They're like, oh, you built it. How can God take it away? Well, guess what? I mean, read about Egypt and everything in the Old Testament. If you lose your alignment with God, remember, he gave you these blessings. He made this possible. Without him, if you move away from him, he could take it away in an instant because maybe he decides it belongs with somebody else at that moment, right?
Yes. Yes. No, I mean, the Bible says he gives and takes away. And, you know, I hear a lot of people say my ministry, and, you know, I get it. I mean, I understand. I probably said that too. But I always try to say, you know, it's his ministry. He's given me this ministry and it's how I steward it. And am I perfect? No, far from perfect, you know, and I'm sure I probably said something that might not be even correct in this interview. But the truth is that it's all about our heart. You know, it's about, are we trying our very best as a human who, you know, we're flawed individuals, but are we trying our very best to steward what God has given us? And I believe that as we do that, the Lord knows our heart, he sees our heart, and his favor and blessing is upon us. And so here's the thing to anybody listening. If you want to know how to be successful in this world, follow the basic instructions before leaving Earth, the Bible. You know, he's given us the roadmap. He's given us an instruction manual. You know, I think back to high school. If I would have had the answers to all the tests, I would have aced it, right? We have the answers. We have the tools. We have the answers. He's given us everything that we need. And then if you follow those things, the blessing and the favor is on you, and he will expand your territory as you don't, you know, you're given a talent and then you don't bury it. You know, you steward that talent well, he'll give you more, you know, and he'll give you more because he knows that he can trust you. He's a good father. And if you get up every day and you say, how can I be about the business of the Lord? And I'm telling you, you make it about souls, you won't even have a financial problem. I don't care what happens in the world. I don't care if the whole economy collapses. You will have what you need. You will not lack because he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. And we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're citizens of heaven. So if we start understanding spiritual dynamics and kingdom dynamics, and we apply those, you will not be unsuccessful. There's no way. I mean, God is with you even until the end of the age. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So that's the key. That's the whole thing right there.
Completely agree with that. I've never felt like I would be abandoned by God. It's only a human being they might choose to abandon God, but God will not abandon them unless you know, they break with God or start to worship Satan or what have you. And I've never felt like there I would ever face a situation in this world, even in a total collapse. I've never felt like I would be alone or that I would be helpless. Never felt that way. So I'm really glad you said what you just said. Let me ask you a question that's related to that. So being a Christian in alignment with God's principles today in 2022, we might argue that it's more difficult than it was, let's say, in the 1980s, because in the 1980s, you didn't have, you know, horn, demonic, drag queen, story time stuff happen in the public schools, right? You didn't have to stand up and fight against that because nobody was crazy enough to try that. You know, you didn't have the boys and the girls restrooms in the public schools or the, you know, the chemical castrations taking place. So it's, and also all of the incredible pressure on this. I mean, look at the LGBT flags that are flying everywhere in all the cities and all the buildings. It's like they're claiming their territory for the transgenderism of children. You know, it's a territorial claim. Doesn't it seem like in some ways it's more difficult for people to hold the line today than it was a few decades ago? Or am I wrong about that?
Yeah. I think in the Western world, yes. I mean, I think, you know, if you're talking about like in communist China, it's a different perspective, or North Korea, or, you know, so it kind of just depends. I mean, there's always been a persecuted church, and but, you know, I think for the Western world, for the most part, we've had it pretty easy. And I think this is where a lot of people are still kind of in a normalcy bias where they just think, well, everything's going to go back to normal. Normal ain't coming back. You know, we've stepped into a new season, and you can't put new wine in old wineskin. And so God is looking for a people that are willing to stand, they're going to have some thick skin, you know, and so we can't expect everything to be easy. You know, we're in a microwave Christian society. You know, everybody thinks that everything's going to happen right away. And, you know, if they don't see it right away, oh, I'm mad at God. You know, that's not going to work. I mean, God is looking for people that have stick-to-itiveness and that trust him and that are willing to obey him on the day by day and to encourage ourselves in Christ and to know the word and to apply that. And so this is where we're at now. So I think it has gotten more difficult, especially in the Western world. And I would love to say that it's going to get better, but I think it's going to get much harder. So this is a season where we need to go deeper and know the word, hide it in our heart, and really become warriors, you know, where we don't have that thin skin and where we're not just going to give up and where we understand this is the reality of the world. This is the situation. But the good news is that we're on the winning team. The God of heaven and earth is on our side. It's a fixed fight. Like, Lucifer is a fallen angel, you know, fallen archangel. God is the God of heaven and earth, the creator of all things. So we're on the winning team. And if we understand that and we walk in that authority and we stick to the principles of the word of God and we don't fall, we don't go back into our vomit, you know, we're going to be okay. That's the good news. Yeah. But, you know, it's probably going to get more difficult, Mike. I really believe it is.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. This so-called dark winter is approaching right now. And in the news, Germany just put out some kind of alert where they want to have a lot of backup cash for their banking system in case the power grid goes down and there are bank runs. I mean, this is what they're openly talking about now, right? Stuff that would have been a conspiracy theory 2 years ago or even less. And now they're just like, nope, it could happen. And we've seen, by the way, the fall of this crypto cabal, this FTX crypto, which I think is pretty amazing to watch, because wasn't that another case where so many people, especially young millennials, they were putting their faith in this one man named Sam. They put their faith in this man as, oh, he's our savior. He's the altruist. He's going to not keep any money for himself. He's going to redirect billions to the appropriate causes that he knows because he's so much smarter than all of us. And so once again, they put their faith in this man who turned out to be the thief in the night, right? Mm. And it just collapsed, yeah. Which again, I think that's a wonderful process for people to learn not to have false faith in man.
Yes. Yeah. And I think you actually warned about that in the past too. And yeah. So, yeah.
And took a lot of heat for that too, by the way.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's the challenge because, you know, obviously when you take a stand for something, there's going to always be that group. And I'm sure people will be very annoyed by some of the things that have been said today, but you know, the whole thing is it goes back to the spirit behind it. You know, you have a desire to see people set up for success. I have a desire to see people set up for success. Like you had mentioned, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. There's probably no easy way out. We're going to have to really go through some tough times. But if we start preparing ourselves now, you know, mind, body, spirit. And I love also that you talk about the body and health, because that's another key factor, yes. You know, and we have to make sure that we're healthy. We're taking care of the temple because there's so much junk out there. That's just another way that these evil demonic people have tried to come at us. So it's really looking at the whole thing and every day, like you said, the crypto thing. I mean, there's so many different things that are happening at once. I mean, the news cycle is so fast. You can't even keep True. Up, you know, only like 10 years ago, it was like one big story for the week. And they would talk about the whole thing. Now it's like multiple major world changing things almost every day, you know? So we know the hour is getting late, and but at the same time, I think it's God has positioned us in this hour. He didn't make a mistake in bringing us into the world at this time, and so he must know. I mean, he does know better than we do, and so obviously we're going to be able to get through this and survive, and I believe even thrive in the midst of, you know, I say it's the best of times and the Sure. worst of times at the same time. Because the thing is that there's a tremendous harvest. That's the good news. And I believe the beginnings of a powerful end time move of God, you know, and that's what we're seeing all around the country. Yes. You know, so there's very good things that are happening that aren't being reported, but there's also crazy stuff going on.
All right, folks, the website is pastortodd.org. And also, can you remind us, when is your show on Brighteon TV?
It's on Sunday. It's on the faith block. And, you know, we have a Sunday service that we do online. And, you know, many people tell us, you know, we can't find a remnant church in our community. We want to find a pastor that's, you know, speaking truth. And so, you know, I always say, if you can find a good church, get plugged in. It's really good to have community. I think that's going to be one of the most important things going forward is having Yes. community. But if you're not able to find it, or if you just want to go deeper in your faith and maybe this is a season where this is your church, or tune in, we'd love to know you and, you know, have you part of this remnant community. But I believe, Mike, that God is putting together, and you're part of this, an underground railroad for the remnant. It's an infrastructure that he's putting together now. And I believe it's going to become very important in the days, months, and years ahead.
Yes, yes. And folks, Sunday is the day of pastors and sermons on Brighteon.tv too. So, you know, tune in every Sunday for that programming. And if you miss it, there is a channel on Brighteon.com called Brighteon TV that has the archived episodes that you can watch there. Now, Pastor Todd, one other question. Now, we're recording this pretty late at night, but in your background, it's daytime. Where are you?
That it's a screen. It's
really? Screen. That's the best screen, because I don't see any green screen artifacts at all.
Isn't that cool?
That's really good.
Thank you. Yeah, I do a lot of interviews, so I have to be prepared for every different streaming software, you know, so I knew you were using this one, and so I had
it prepared. Well, you fooled me. I thought surely maybe you're in Hawaii or something right now.
No, I wish, but no, I'm in Tennessee.
Oh, okay. So it's dark there too at the moment. Okay. Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for taking the time. Any last thoughts you want to offer people before we wrap this up?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for what you're doing at Brighteon and Brighteon TV. And I would encourage people to share and to let people know, because that's how so many people are waking up in this hour. And that's just so encouraging. And, you know, no matter what, we can't fear. And you know, sometimes you just got to enjoy the moment, you know, and just be present. And so while we do need to be astute and know that all these things are happening and be watchmen, we also have to enjoy our life, you know. So make sure you do that. Get some rest. Be prayed up. But we have to think about these things and get that divine strategy. And so I believe the Lord will speak to you as you seek him. I've never seen anybody, Mike, that has sought the Lord that hasn't found him. Wow. If you really seek, you will find that he stands at the door of your heart knocking. All you got to do is let him in. He is the author and the finisher of our story. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we turn to him, that is the ultimate solution, both on this earth and for all eternity.
All right. All right. Well said. PastorTodd.org is the website, folks. Pastor Todd Coconato. And Pastor, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. And, you know, feel free to reach out anytime. We would love to have you back on again soon as well. Maybe a Christmas episode with you if you're up for something like that.
I just
purchased some crazy Christmas hats. So maybe we could both feature a Christmas hat or something to bring a little laughter to the episode.
Let's do it, man.
Yeah. Okay. But until then, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you. The honor's mine.
Thank All right. You, thank you. And folks, again, that was Pastor Todd Coconato. And as always, you are free to repost this interview. If something resonated with you, you'd like to share it with others, please go ahead and do so. If you disagree with anything, that any specific word that was mentioned in the interview, please email us all 1,000 times with what little thing you disagree. No, I'm just joking. Most people love all these interviews, but every once in a while I get feedback like, well, use the wrong word over there at minute four minutes and 17 seconds or whatever. I'm like, okay, whatever. But that's it. Feel free to repost this. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com and Brighteon.tv. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us today. Take care.
A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.